Thank you, team. I am away various weeks, as I was last week, it is so good to have such a great team here. I pray for you all, and I'm watching service, catching it like you all do, but just appreciate Eric and Anna and Matt and our worship team and everybody here at Trinity and the faithful ministry that happens week in and week out. It's so good to serve together with all of you. I want to invite you right now to look at your Bibles, if you would, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 19 and reading verses 1 through 10. And somebody may be thinking, why does Pastor Bruce always read the scripture and always show the slides with the scripture? And one reason for that is because the Bible indicates that part of worship is the reading of scripture. So it's not like, you know, just kind of like, oh, let's get to worship. No, this is worship. When we give attention to the word of God, it is an act of together worship. So let's do that right now. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. He, that is Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Okay, here's a question, and I mean this sincerely. On a scale of 1 to 10, how honest are you? Now, don't answer too fast, because deep problems, the deepest problems, stem from dishonesty, and the worst kind of dishonesty is dishonesty about yourself to yourself. So failing to admit our struggle with honesty is among the biggest, deepest spiritual problems. So I hope nobody said quickly, oh, I'm surely a 10. I must be a 10. Because that would be dishonest, wouldn't it? So we're going to be talking about honesty this summer. And why? So that we as believers in Jesus Christ might grow comprehensively in honesty, so that our lives are characterized by uncommon honesty, and we might discover the sources of that as we grow in our walk with the Lord. Today's text, we meet a man that certainly nobody would have thought of as honest. Everybody would have given him a very low ranking, you know, one or two at best, on that scale of 1 to 10. This man is Zacchaeus of Jericho. We read a little bit about him. We're going to hear a little more about him today. This is that man that a lot of kids relate to, I think, in part because he was of short stature, and they go like, hey, he's my size. But this is far more than a kid's story. This is really a powerful story of transformation. And we're going to consider today the transformation, the before of Zacchaeus and the after of Zacchaeus, so that we might impact on how meeting Jesus as Savior transforms him and can transform us into uncommon honesty. That's where we're going today. Jesus is on his way to the cross. Luke 19, of course, is getting pretty close to that point in Jesus' life. He has set his resolve to go to Jerusalem. On four different occasions, he has said to the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. That's where we're at right now. Jesus is moving that way. And then he meets this rich man. He entered Jericho. As he was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And of course, tax collectors in that context were notoriously bad. He is a chief tax collector, so that means he's the worst of the notoriously bad. And Jericho was on a trade route, and so it was a place where toll taxes were levied. Tax collectors were known not only as Jewish men who were sellouts to the Romans because they collected taxes on their behalf, but those who did this both legally and illegally, both by legitimate means and by illegitimate means, to greedily gain for themselves as much as they possibly could and to rip you off dishonestly in the process. That was this man, Zacchaeus. And so when they were grumbling about Jesus being the guest of this man who was a sinner, no one, and surely not Jesus, would have disagreed that this man was not a sinner. He was notoriously bad, and chiefly so. From that profile, clearly not an honest man at all, but overcome with greed and dishonesty of all kinds, a dishonest cheater was transformed. Here in this text, we hear and read the account of this dishonest cheat who didn't have an honest bone in his body, transformed by the power of God when he met Jesus. And there in chapter 19, verse 8, he now says, if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Now, this is not the kind of like if you say to somebody, if I offended you, as if to say that I offending you, you being offended is your problem, and I'm just throwing an if in there to qualify. No, he really had defrauded people. He's saying on those specific cases where I have cheated people and gained that money from them in a dishonest way, I'm going to restore it fourfold. Now, how did this happen? He meets Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The first message in this message series on the unseen springs for uncommon honesty, we're going to talk about meeting Jesus. Why? Because that's what is at the core of this transformation, not only for Zacchaeus, but for any one of us. True honesty is always a God-worked grace within a person. It's not the external that is put on by the person. True honesty flows from the reality of God. And that's why we're calling this an unseen spring. True honesty flows from something within, the work of the Spirit. That's why we're going to be unpacking various scriptural truths related to that which is unseen, flowing from within us by the power and grace of God that produces a kind of honesty that is uncommon because it comes from Him. Now, we're going to be exploring some aspects of honesty, and today we're kind of give you a little bit of taste of where this is going. But think of the kind of honesty that admits that I have a deceitful heart that isn't honest. Jeremiah chapter 17. Think about the honesty that admits my need for forgiveness. That I'm not coming into God's presence saying, hey, look at me, I'm fine. No, I need Jesus. I need grace. I need His mercy. Think about the kind of honesty that's honest about money matters. If the clerk gives you too much change, do you say, my lucky day? Or do you say, no, here's your money back? Think about honesty in words. Do you do I do 100% of what you say, I say? That's honesty, isn't it? If you say you're going to do it and you don't do it, what is that? It's dishonest. Honesty reflects that I am the same person in all situations. And am I always that person who says, Jesus, there's nothing better than you? Every desire is satisfied in your love. And there may be even someone here, because I know it's happened before, who has deep, dark secrets, perhaps even a double life. And I hope you're not saying, oh, no, I'm busted. This is horrible. No, I'm offering you good news. I'm bringing good news. There's the possibility of radical change in meeting Jesus. Being honest about our weaknesses, our proclivities, our addictions, right? Not inappropriate admission, but appropriate admission to God, certainly, to ourselves for sure, and to trusted people. It's a part of what a healthy person is, and we all have those things. True honesty is not then just image management. It's not you thinking I'm honest. It's actually being so. And so this is an area of growth, and the hero of that growth is the Savior. The Savior who gives forgiveness to broken sinners, dishonest cheats. The Savior who brings inside-out change of heart for the lost. It's a unseen spring that flows from within by his work in us. This one, the Son of Man, Jesus, who came to seek and to save the lost. Today we're going to consider the model of Zacchaeus meeting Jesus, Savior, and the uncommon honesty that results from that, as it points to a reality in each of us of seeking Jesus, turning to Jesus, rejoicing in Jesus, and making restitution where necessary as a fruit of having met Jesus. We're going to see the unseen spring of honesty for Zacchaeus and for each one who believes here in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. I mentioned this man Zacchaeus as a child, appreciating him. He was short like us. There was a really cool song associated with, anybody remember that really cool song with all the motions? I mean, as a kid, a rambunctious little guy, I love the songs with motions. We got to do all kinds of motions with Zacchaeus and the wee little man that he was, and he climbed up in the tree. And that was the other cool part too, right? A guy in the Bible who climbed trees. I mean, it's every boy's dream to read about that. And I had the highest respect for guys who could climb a tree really well. And good old Zacchaeus turns out to be one of those. But of course, it's far, far more than that, isn't it? This is a story about meeting Jesus. Don't miss that. The central character in this story is not Zacchaeus. It is the Jesus that Zacchaeus meets. And that's where we all are pointed to by this text of meeting him as we seek him, turn to him, rejoice in him, and the fruit of meeting him is put into place in our life. Let's consider first the seeking of Jesus. Zacchaeus knew enough to know that he needed more of who Jesus is. Now, how did Zacchaeus know this? We don't know, but apparently, the reputation of Jesus as a great miracle worker, as a great teacher, and maybe something even of his claims were reaching the ears of Zacchaeus. And he's like, you know, and maybe it was partly that, wow, I've heard this guy actually has something good to offer tax collectors. And knowing that he was such an outcast and so despised, he's like,
I got to get more of this Jesus thing. And we need more of this Jesus thing. And I want us just to look at the text to see what it says as he was seeking to see, not just to see Jesus, but to see who Jesus is. Isn't that interesting? Who is this guy? What is he all about? And we can see here that something stronger than curiosity was driving him. He was being driven by a seeking Jesus, and that's exactly where we're pointed to if we want to grow in any aspect of life, and certainly if we want to grow in honesty. If you said to me, Pastor Bruce, what would you suggest if I want to grow in honesty? And I would say first is admit that you aren't, and second is to do what Zacchaeus did here, to seek him, that is Jesus, and who he is. That's the pointer here from Zacchaeus and the pointer from all the scripture. And of course, when we truly and sincerely seek Jesus, we're brought to a crossroads of response to him. And I believe Zacchaeus begins this response very early. For sure, he does have this response. We're going to see and consider now turning to Jesus, the response of repentance. All true faith includes repentance, and all true repentance includes true faith. And Zacchaeus here, we are not told the exact moment of his turning, but I believe what was happening when Zacchaeus was climbing that tree is something in his heart, which was at least the beginning of turning to Jesus in true repentance. And certainly we all need this. This is the only way we're going to move to a right relationship with God. It's the only way we're going to grow in true honesty, is to honestly admit our need for Jesus and to honestly and sincerely turn to Jesus in true repentance. And I'm thinking that as he's going up, grabbing a branch here and pulling it up and going up there and pulling it up, whatever he was doing, in his mind and heart, Zacchaeus was like, man, I've got a mess of a life here. I really don't like what I've got. I really see my need for something different. And this Jesus, he's got something that's different. He is something that's different. I really need him. I want to turn to him. I am here now wanting to renounce this sinful life and by God's grace embrace something different. And you may say, well, Pastor Bruce, how did you get all that from just him climbing up in a tree? Let me suggest a few things here, and let's look at the text. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Let me tell you why I believe that at least the beginnings of repentance were happening here. First is in chapter 19, verse 10. We'll get there in a few minutes. Jesus says that this day, today, salvation came to Zacchaeus. So what was the day that Zacchaeus crossed from not believing to believing? What was the day Zacchaeus moved from in rebellion against God to repentance and turning to Jesus? What was the day of that? It was this day, the day he climbed the tree, the day he welcomed Jesus into his house. Clearly, repentance is a part of that picture. In Luke chapter 13, verse 5, and numerous places in Luke, we can say that repentance is always the way a person receives salvation. Secondly is this. From this point on, from the climbing of the tree, there is fruit that points to that he truly repented and believed. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. There was obvious fruit of something happening in Zacchaeus' life. He not only was saved that day, for sure, Jesus says it, there was fruit already even before he gathers in that home with Jesus. And here's the third reason, is we see Zacchaeus doing something here that is socially, radically inappropriate, way outside the bounds of what a grown man of his wealth and stature would do. which tells me he wasn't just doing this to be different or even to see Jesus. He was willingly stepping up into that tree because of something happening in his heart. Now, you may think, hey, well, as a kid, I thought climbing trees was cool. Maybe you think, hey, that's a cool thing for a grown man to do. No, it isn't. For a man of Zacchaeus's wealth and stature, it would be like a guy with a business suit climbing up in a tree. You say, what are you doing? You're gonna destroy that poor suit of yours. It's totally inappropriate. Now, some of you say, well, I kind of would like a business guy who would climb a tree. That would be my kind of guy. Well, let me just shift the metaphor a little bit. What if you saw a bunch of guys on a construction site having tea with their pinkies out and doing this? You'd say, well, that's totally socially inappropriate. No construction site guy would be caught dead doing that. That is the sort of thing what Zacchaeus was doing here. It was totally outside the bounds of what was appropriate, reflecting the reality that something was going on in his heart that he said, I don't care about that. I care about the answer. I care about the solution, which is Jesus. And he pursued that and embraced that. And we need to stop saying what we want others to hear. Stop massaging the image of what we hope people think, and think about what's really real, and think about the reality of our need for Jesus and what he offers, and to admit our need for him and turn to him. Now, of course, that is, for those who have never yet believed, that moment of turning in true faith. But I want to suggest for those of us who do believe, that same kind of ruthless honesty and Jesus-driven embracing in repentance is the core of all true growth and change. Honesty, uncommon honesty, flows from turning to Jesus and reaffirming that turning to Jesus and continuing to turn and say, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, my Savior. Let's continue to unpack Zacchaeus as he points us to true believing in Jesus and meeting him. He rejoices in Jesus. Now, what I notice, there are two rich guys that show up in the Gospel of Luke, one just the previous chapter. And the heart reality of the two couldn't be farther different. Both present as interested in Jesus on the front end. But the rich ruler, when Jesus called for a response from him, which in his case, because his riches were a barrier between him and God, Jesus said, sell all that you have and give to the poor and then come follow me. It says that when Jesus gave him a charge, his response was one of great sadness. Now, contrasting Zacchaeus, when Jesus gives him a charge, his response is one of great gladness. Joy in Jesus is the fruit of a heart that has met Jesus and is continuing in Jesus. It's a spiritual dynamic. So this rejoicing in Jesus is that fruit, and Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus gladly because of that fruit. He did not say, oh, what a pain, I gotta go home, get the house ready, and get some food to share with this guy. He's like, I get the privilege of welcoming and hosting Jesus. He didn't say, oh no, I'm busted, this Jesus guy, he's all about truth and he's on to me, he's gonna get after me for all my dishonesty and what I've done wrong. No, he said, no, I get the privilege of hosting and knowing better this Savior, Jesus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, this is Luke chapter 19, verse 5, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. What's the must? Well, this is the divine necessity that Jesus knew it was appointed by the plan of God that this was the day Zacchaeus would meet Jesus. This had to be that day, and Jesus signals that. You know, in the plan of God, there are these special moments and special days of divine necessity. And could it be that for you, someone hearing this, today is the day for you? Not some other day, today. By the working of God, by the grace of God. Maybe the day of the beginning of this reality of knowing Jesus. May the day of a massive reset to say, man, I've been faking a bunch and I'm sick of it. I want the real. Zacchaeus heard those words from Jesus and he said, okay, I'm going to do it. Zacchaeus hurried, came down and received him joyfully. Luke 19, verse 6. Now, in Luke's writing, that word joyfully, that particular word, always comes when there's faith. There is a kind of joy, kind of a secular joy. This is a joy rooted in true believing. A couple of passages in Luke noted there, a couple of passages in Acts I could add to that list if you want. But joy in Jesus is the telltale sign of true repentant faith in Jesus. Joy in Jesus flows from a heart that has been rescued by forgiveness and is growing in the grace working of his shaping. That's joy. Where joy is absent, there's both lack of true honesty and surely lack of true salvation. So I point you in the direction of that joy because it's a fruit of heart transformation. This uncommon honesty flowing from meeting Jesus, Savior, of course, is most reflected here in the commitment of Zacchaeus to make restitution. Now, this is just fruit. It's not Zacchaeus getting saved by what he did. It's that Zacchaeus, as a saved man, now flowing from his heart is something different. This change is seen in his generosity and restitution for what he had gained dishonestly. A change in us is a result of God's grace, and that grace working of God in us produces generosity. So if you're claiming to be a rescued believer but stingy, I would say something's gotten crossed here, that's not the way it works. There's a wonderful pointer by Jesus to say that Zacchaeus was on this day saved. And let's just go into the text a little bit and see Jesus justifying his actions, but really pointing to his divine mission even more. Says this, and when they saw it, they all grumbled. This is all the folks that were there saying, you know, this just isn't appropriate, Jesus, that he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a well-known sinner. Now, Jesus ministered to outcasts on both ends of the social and economic ladder, the extremely wealthy, the extremely poor, and everyone in between, because everyone needs a Savior. And Zacchaeus meeting Jesus is reflected here in these words in verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, and of course this was in the hearing of the others who were there. Probably this is now not happening under the sycamore tree, but in the house as Jesus has gone there, but we don't know exactly. But look at the theological reality behind this, the unseen spring behind this. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. That radical generosity flowing from thankfulness to the Lord for his rescue and forgiveness. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it for full. Those that he had defrauded, he was willingly committing not just to give the money back, but to make restitution, to give even more than the money back. He clearly has been rescued. That's why he's saying this. And then Jesus, of course, explains that is in fact true. And Jesus said to him, Jesus said it to Zacchaeus, but of course wanted those grumblers to hear it. Today, salvation has come to this house. So that means that not only Zacchaeus came to believe, but others in Zacchaeus' household came to a response of repentance and believing. Then Jesus said, since he also is a son of Abraham. Not just a ethnic, physical son of Abraham, as a Jewish man he was, but Jesus, of course, signaling he's a spiritual child of Abraham. And the Bible tells us that those who believe in Jesus are all each spiritual children of Abraham, each one by faith, having that distinction. So when I was preparing for this message, I read this sentence in a commentary by Norval Geldenhuis. I don't know who he is other than he wrote a good commentary on Luke. But here's what he said. And I leave you with this as it relates to this fruit and each of our lives showing that fruit. He said this, and I believe it's true. When Jesus comes into a person's life as Savior, when Jesus comes into a person's life and gains authority there, selfishness and dishonesty are irresistibly eradicated. When Jesus comes into a person's life as Savior and gains authority there, selfishness and dishonesty are irresistibly eradicated. Now, that is a process, but wow, look at Zacchaeus already showing us dramatic change to indicate that is in fact true. Salvation has come to this house. There's that response of meeting Jesus, the unseen springs flowing from that for uncommon honesty. This story reflects Jesus' mission to save. Everything we've heard about Zacchaeus is summed up when Jesus says in chapter 19, verse 10, this is my mission. This that happened here today with Zacchaeus and others like him, this is my mission. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You're lost, you need saving. When I was growing up, our family went on a hike in northern Minnesota as we were staying in a cabin up there, and we were hiking on these lumber trails, which were unmarked roads in the woods where they were collecting logs. And we were walking road, 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 road. We're getting more and more tired, more and more thirsty. And I turned to my dad and said, Dad, are we lost? And my father said, we're not lost. We just don't know where we are. When you're lost, when you need saving, when you've got problems with dishonesty, when you're a sinner in need of rescue, the most important thing is to say, I am indeed lost. I need rescue. And by the way, eventually we did flag down one of those lumber trucks and ask for directions, because we'd still be wandering around up there if we hadn't have done that. Jesus came to save sinners of all kinds, including deceivers, including those that don't want to admit that they're a deceiver, including those that right now are saying, who, me? Every one of us needs a Savior. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And today might be that day for you to meet Jesus. Today might be that day for you to renew it, your commitment to Jesus. Jesus said today. The Bible's got a lot of todays. Not tomorrow. Not sometime. This is the moment the Spirit of God is moving. This is the moment that you are here. Today is the day for you. So receive him. and renew that receiving by repentant faith, by admitting the truth and thanking him that he went to the cross to provide that way for you to have forgiveness and fresh start. And the Lord's Supper is this wonderful sacred remembrance instituted by Jesus, of Jesus and his death, of his death to save and to rescue. And so it is for all of us as believers to celebrate the fact that's what he did on the cross. And I want to invite each of us now just to quiet our hearts as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. The music will help us do that as well. Let's give thanks to him that he gave himself for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge our deceitful hearts, our sin that separates from you. And yet, Lord, what an amazing gift that you came to rescue. No one can say they're beyond forgiveness. No one can say that I'm such a mess, God would never accept me. We see the dramatic change of Zacchaeus, which is a pointer to that Jesus is seeking and rescuing people from all kinds of backgrounds and people with all kinds of problems, including deceitfulness of the worst kinds. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would, by that grace working, continue to grow those that know you, that have been forgiven. And help us to be honest, Lord, in that process. Help us to continue to seek you, to run to you, to turn to you, to trust in you, to rejoice in you. Let you, by your Spirit, work and produce the fruit of that, including generosity and making amends where necessary. Lord Jesus, thank you. We praise you. And thank you that you went to the cross and paid in full everything that was necessary for our sins' forgiveness. There is indeed nothing better than you and life in you. We thank you and pray in your name.